Okay. Today's learning is sponsored by a close friend, Gabriel Pollack, and it's sponsored in memory of Avram Yitzchak Ben Baruch. So our learning is Le'ilui Nishmaso, and the shiur that we're having right now is sponsored by Ari Miller, and it's sponsored in honor of Dr. Morris Silver's Siyum HaShas. So that's still getting press, which is good, because it's a Siyum HaShas. So we learn in his honor as well. Yeah, so in this week's Parshas Naso, we have the Psukim, which tell us the command and the content of the Birchas Kohanim, of Nisiz Kapayim, of Duchening. So I wanted to take a sugya, which people are familiar with one area of the halacha here, but just to dig a little bit deeper into some of the ideas behind the halacha will give us a sense of depth in terms of what the halacha means and where it applies. And additionally, you'll see it'll connect us back to our limud in two scenarios throughout this Zman in Masechah Sanhedrin. So we'll start with the Mishnah, source number one, the Mishnah Masechah Megillah. The Mishnah tells us, Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin lo yisa es kapav. If a Kohen has wounds on his hands, sounds like it's for now limited to hands. The Gemara is going to extend it also to face and feet, but for now, the only thing we care about is the hands. So biyadav, he has mumin, so lo yisa es kapav, he's not supposed to go ahead and duchen if he's wounded in that way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Masha Misha Hayu Yadav Tzvuos Satis or Lo Yisa Es Kapav, even if it's just got dye or paint, you know, coloring on the hands, something that will stand out. Why Mivnisha Am Mistaklin Bo? Because the Kihila is looking at the Kohanim who are benching them in the front of the room. And we'll leave out the and for now, because it's not entirely clear. The Mishnah doesn't tell us what the issue is. So what if he has a mum on his hands, and the klal, the kihila, looks towards him and sees the wound? Who cares? Sees the color? Who cares? So Rashi fills in a blank for us here. It's going to be difficult, but he fills in the blank by saying as follows. You have it in source number one, indented. Rashi tells us, Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin, he can't duchen lefisha am mistaklin bo, because as the Mishnah ends, because the Klal Yisrael are looking towards the Kohanim as they duchen. V'amrinah b'maseches chagiga, the Gemara says in chagiga, ha-mistakel b'kohanim. Now, we may or may not come back to this, but if you go all the way to the end of the sheet, source number 14, you'll see that Rashi here is quoting the Gemara, but not exactly as the Gemara says. So we may or may not come back to that, but it's good to at least note, if you're taking notes, that that this Rashi is quoting a Gemara, but questionable whether he has the same gears in our Gemara. But the Gemara, as Rashi quotes it, is Hamastakel b'Kohanim b'Shah Shenosin es Kapayim. If you look at the Kohanim while they are duchening, while they're doing the Sias Kapayim, Einav Kehos, Rachman Hassan will become blinded. Lefi Yishar Shechina Shora Al Yedeyan, because the Shechina rests upon their hands, or in other sources, the way it's termed is the Shechina rests between their fingers. Either way, the Shechina is there in some concentrated form, and therefore, looking at Mistakel at the hands of the Kohanim is going to be problematic for one's eyesight. It'll be dangerous. Just to note, the word Mistakel is very relevant in Halacha and other areas as well. Here, we're assuming, most of us assume, most of the posts can assume, that mistakel doesn't mean like a glance, a momentary glance. It means something more along the lines of histaklus, the way we use it colloquially, to stare or to gaze at something. That's how the Ad Malachi understands, that's how the Mishnah Berurah understands, Baal Di Shulchan understands, all in different areas of halacha, particularly in Hilchos Nida, let's say, that the person not only mistakel, but makomos hamachusim sheba. So mistakel doesn't mean a quick glance. It means to dwell on it, to look at it in a way that's staring or gazing. The Magen Avram, in our halachos in Kuf Chav Chesiv Katan Lama Dalid, so he says that there is a chumra that we shouldn't look at all. We shouldn't even glance even slightly. And the reason for that, Mishnah Berurah quotes that as well, by the way, in the halachos over here, that even a glance is potentially problematic by Birchas Kohanim. I don't know if they make this sushal themselves, but the in, let's say, in the realm of Hilchos Nida, for example, I know Rav Vosner writes like this, but I think it's just obvious. It's very difficult to draw a line between what's looking, what's a glance, and what's staring, what's a gaze. So when it becomes so tenuous, the line between Aser and Mutter, so it's best to be careful and not even to take a glance, not even to see something very briefly. So it's true by Sakana too. Maybe Sakana Chamir Meisura. It's even more Chamir, more stringent than Isurim. So here, by Histaklus Bidei HaKohanim, which can lead to a Rachman Atzlan blinding of the person's eyes, so it's best not to even catch a quick glance, because it could lead to something terrible, Rachman Atzlan. Yes, that's what Rashi says, that there's a sakana involved in the enterprise of looking at the Kohanim's hands because the Shekhinah is shower there so intensely that you're going to lose your eyesight, chas v'shalom. Tosas are very bothered by this. Tosas, you have in source number 2, Tosas Maseches Chagiga and Daf Tes Zayin. So Tosas are confused because they bring a raya for this, is very clear. If you look in the Gemara's over there, it's obvious that the Gemara talks about cases of people looking at hands or the Isser of looking at the hands by Berachas Kohanim, and it's clear that we're talking about Berachas Kohanim, which is taking place outside of the Mikdash. Now, who cares if it's outside the Mikdash or inside the Mikdash? The Tosas draw the point out over here, but we're reading it outside, that one major difference between the duchening which takes place in the Mikdash and the duchening which takes place outside of the Mikdash is that when you're in the Mikdash, so we use the Shema Meforash, we use the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the actual Shema Meforash, the Kohanim actually pronounce it, and we'll see maybe spelled out in a few sources that it's clear from the Rishonim and from the Achronim that the special Shechina that resides over the hands of the Kohanim as they bench the Klal Yisrael, it comes from the fact that they're mentioning the Shema Hashem, the real Shema Hashem, the Shema Miuchad. And so in the Mikdash, it's understandable that as they held their hands up and duchin, so the Shechina was shora bein etzba oseim al yadehem, but it's not mistaber to say such a thing existed outside of the Mikdash, because outside of the Mikdash, the halacha is we do not say the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMeforash, the Shem HaMiuchad, when we duchin. So if Rashi is correct, then how could there still be an Isser Histaklus outside of the Mikdash, which the Gemara certainly assumes there is. So therefore, Tosas offer a different pshat entirely. You have in the bold, in source number 2, Tosas suggests, v'nir lefarish, the af begvulin mitzer, it's still usher in gvulin, outside of Mikdash, it's still usher to look at the hands of the Kohanim. Why? Mishum hesach hadas. Because of the issue of distraction. The Rambam has something similar, although if you look at the Rambam, it seems he's talking about the Kohanim becoming distracted. But the Tosas at least are talking about the Yisrael, the Jewish people, becoming distracted. Hesach hadas. V'hach is of Yerushalmi, and he proves from Yerushalmi, where it's takamashma that way, that the issue is one of Hesach Hadas, meaning there's an issue that the Jewish people who are watching Kohanim Duchin shouldn't become distracted. So if a guy goes up there and he's got wounds and lesions all over his hands, so if he's Duchining, people are going to be looking at that, ooh, what's that? What is that? It looks gross. Or he has paint all over his hands, ooh, looks funky, looks interesting. They're not going to pay attention to the bracha. That's going to lead to Hesach Hadas. So what? Who cares if they have Hesach Hadas? What's the difference? So you could have thought, Enachanami, obviously the halacha here, especially in Tosas, is assuming that we do care about Hesach Hadas. What's the reason we care about Hesach Hadas? So this is an interesting lumdus. Definitely, Yesh Ladin, if this is correct, you could definitely think Zach on this, but the Dvar Avram suggests in Chelek Aleph that the Machlokas Rashi Tosas here is dependent upon a Machlokas Rishonim and Achronim regarding Berachas Kohanim in general. Who has the mitzvah of Berachas Kohanim? So for now, we'll just assume there's one mitzvah of Berachas Kohanim. Bahag has multiple mitzvahs of Berachas Kohanim. I think he has a mitzvah of one that's more limited to the Avodah Shabbat, one that's more limited to the Kohanim and the Tefillah, the Bracha itself. But let's assume there's one mitzvah of Berachas Kohanim. Who's the mitzvah on? It's obviously on the Kohanim. It's obviously on the Kohanim. There is a famous Charedim who suggests that there's also a mitzvah on Jewish people, on the Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael that's in the audience, to be benched. I mean, there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bench the Jews, and there's a mitzvah on the Jewish people to receive that bracha. So there's actually a mitzvah on the Mekablim as well. That's what the Charedim suggest. They also quote a Ravid in Tamid, which isn't really a pseudo-Ravid, It's not really the Ravid in Tamid. Rabbi Dr. Torsky has proof for that in his book. So, this opinion in the Rishonim does also say that there's a concept that there's a mitzvah on the Mizbarchim as well. And there are makoros about this, the Hafla, and some Sefer. There's a lot of people who write about this, that there's a mitzvah also on the one receiving the bracha. So the Dvar Avram suggests that maybe Rashi and Tosfos are goofa arguing about this. Rashi understands kipshutam shaldarim, there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bench Klal Yisrael. So, okay, so if you look at the hands and you're going to have your eyes be damaged, that's a problem, so you can't do that. We have to make sure there's an Isser histaklus. But there's no issue of Hesach Hadas, because who cares if the Jew in the pew isn't paying attention at one point during the bracha? It's not his mitzvah, the Kohen's mitzvah. The Kohen is paying attention, he's giving the bracha, all is good, all is fine. But Tosfos say, no, there's also a mitzvah on the Jew in the audience, on the Yisrael in the audience. And so if there's a problem with the hands of the Kohanim and he's going to be distracted during the bracha, it's going to shter him. It's going to shter the Mizbarich, the one who's being blessed. And therefore, he's going to lose his attention span. He's going to not be able to focus on the bracha. And he'll miss out on his mitzvah, like the Charedim and the Ravid in Tamid, so to speak, quote-unquote, say that there's also a mitzvah on the Yisrael. So because Tosas held there's a mitzvah on the Yisrael, they had this ability to say this pshat of Hesach Hadas. Rashi couldn't say so because he didn't think there's a mitzvah on the Yisrael. That's what the Devar Avraham suggests. You could definitely ding Zach on that. We just won't spend too much time on it now. But it's an interesting suggestion nonetheless. If you look in source 3 and 4, you have, and 5, you have some interesting Mar Makomos we don't have too much time for, but there's a little bit of a discussion about how a Jew is supposed to act in the audience as the Kohanim are giving the brachos. So we're not supposed to lose our attention, as we just learned. Simon Kuf Chav Ches Sif Chav Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. But additionally, we want V'hiyu Pneim Kineged Pnei Kohanim, because the Torah says Amor Lahem, that there has to be a Panim Kineged Panim. There has to be facing each other like a derech of a bracha and a mavura and a mizbarich. And V'lo Yistaklu Bahem, but you shouldn't be looking at them. And the Ramah adds on, the Gama Kohanim le'yistaklu b'dayim, even the Kohanim shouldn't look at their own hands. And here there are chilukim and hagim in terms of whether the Kohanim should actually cover their hands to help prevent the Jews from looking at their hands, or whether they should cover their faces, but it's on the Yisrael in the crowd not to look at the hands himself. These questions of not looking at the hand, but yeah, looking at each other, are where you see all the different minhagim coming out from. The Kohanim, I think mostly we see Kohanim covering their hands nowadays, but that wasn't always true. And about the Jews in the audience, how do they act? Are they supposed to cover their head with a talis? Are they supposed to cover their eyes with a talis? Are they supposed to turn around all the way? Like, how are you supposed to face during Berachos Kohanim? All of that really stems from this discussion. So you do see the practice for sure of people of Yisrael in the crowd covering his face. Let's say he's facing the Kohanim and he covers his face. That is certainly a common practice. So a lot of the posts do recommend that because it's a good pshara. As long as you're facing the Kohanim, it's still panim keneged panim, but your eyes are covered, so you won't chas v'shalom see their hands during dochening. It happens to be, if you look in source 4, and I got this maramakum from Rabbi Isaac Rice this morning, so this maramakum from the Yavitz in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he points out that really covering our faces is inappropriate in both directions. Someone who's giving a bracha to someone else, they're supposed to look at them and talk them straight and connect to them on a real level, an interpersonal level, and to cover their face and not be able to look at the crowd while they're giving the bracha doesn't seem like derech ha-mevarchim. And on the flip side, someone who's receiving a bracha, so you want to accept it wholeheartedly, with attention, with care, with thanks and akar satov to the person in front of you, so you don't cover your face, you look them in the eyes and you accept the gift. If you're trying to avoid someone, you're trying not to make eye contact because it's an uncomfortable conversation, so you cover your eyes. There's a book that I don't recommend it. It has a lot of interesting stories in it, but they're not all, we don't need to know all the stories, but it's an interesting book nonetheless. So it tells a story that happened regularly in a city called Nitra. So in the city there was a darshan, the Rav was a darshan, and every time he got up to say a drasha, he was very fiery, he was very shtark, he was very long-winded also. It was a long drasha on Shabbos morning, so he would get up, and in order to get himself really in the zone, he would take the talis and pull it over his face, and cover his face while he darshaned to the crowd. And that helped him like stay in it and not make eye contact, not to be too strong and whatever. So the people used to come, they would sit down, they would daven shacharis, and he would get up to say the drasha, and they'd all sit there, and as he pulled the talis over his head, the entire shul would empty for an hour and a half. And they would go make kiddush, they would go hang out, and they knew he would finish in an hour. There was someone who would come out and grab them. He'd say, the Rav is finishing up. They'd run back in like Yisker, and they'd sit down, because the Rav wasn't looking. His head was covered by a talis. So they missed the whole drasha every week. It was their way of getting out of it. So if you want to have an awkward drasha, you don't want people to make eye contact, fine, you'll cover your eyes. But you're giving a bracha, you're receiving a bracha, you should be face to face. So he says he doesn't like the practice at all of covering faces. Whether you cover the face, whether you don't cover the face, whether you cover the head or don't cover the head, is it a davar shebekdusha? Is another machlokas? In source number 5, you have from Rav Shechter that it's certainly inappropriate. People who turn around completely and don't face the... You still see this. People still do this nowadays. People who turn completely their backs or their sides to the Kohanim, that's definitely inappropriate. That's showing you don't want the bracha, chas v'shalom. You want the bracha. You want to face them. You don't want to look at their hands. So either you trust the Kohanim to keep the talus over their hands and you won't see them, and you don't need to cover your eyes. Happens to be, I don't cover my eyes during Birkas Kohanim, and there's one shul that I daven in where there's one Kohen who he has a special talis, and his talis has a removable atara so that he could wash the atara. So whenever he does Birkas Kohanim, I noticed it once, or more than once even, there's a gap between where the atara meets the talis. So actually, if he's not careful, you can see right through where his hands are. Even though he's trying to cover his hands with the talis, you can see right through. So I told him about it afterwards, because I was one of the only crumb people in the crowd looking, and I saw that you could see through the talus. He has to be careful either to get a new talus or duct tape the space or something, or he should keep his hands higher up on the talus because you could see right through. But as long as you trust the Kohanim, so you could look. Or, okay, so if you have to cover your eyes, because that's your minhag, so you cover your eyes, but you have to face the Kohanim and accept the bracha that they're trying to give you. Okay, either way, Rashi here has this shita that the whole reason we can't look at the hands is because of the sakana of the shechina being so concentrated on the hands of the Kohanim, because we're saying the Shema Mefurash, and yet Tosfos point out that it applies even begvulin, it applies even outside of the Mikdash, where we obviously do not use the Shema Mefurash. That's a bam kasha. So how does Rashi have it that you have an issue of histaklis begvulin, or bizman hazeh, whenever you do Birkas Kohanim? Why is there any issue of looking at the hands if obviously there's no shechina, if there's no Shema Mefurash? So the Achronim deal with this. The Turi Evan tries to explain that Rashi Taka wouldn't have an Isser nowadays of looking at the hands of the Kohanim. That's what he tries to suggest. It's obviously a little bit dachuk, but the Tosa Rush has a very hard explanation. It's source number 7, you have it. The Tosa Rush there in Maseches Megillah. So he says that even Bizman HaZeh there is Hashras HaShchina. It's true that it's maybe he's implying that it's not the same level, but there certainly is Hashras HaShchina, B'Kishrei Etzba Oseyen. He quotes a Medrash for this when it comes to a duchening of Berchas Kohanim. It's very difficult to understand that, because Lamaisa, as you see in source 6 from Rashi, and as we see in many other Makoros that we don't have time to get into, the source of the Hashras HaShchina comes from the mentioning of the Shema Miuchad, the Shema Mefurash. That should only exist din Mikdash, bizman HaMikdash. But the second you leave the Mikdash, or the second you leave the Zman when the Mikdash exists, it shouldn't be possible to have that sort of Hashras HaShchina on the hands, because we don't have the Shema Mefurash accompanying the Brachos. So what's going on in Rashi, and how does Tosfos Rashi's explanation make any sense if obviously we're living in a time when we're not mentioning the Shema Miuchad, the Shema Mefurash? So that's the question I wanted to address for the next couple of minutes, B'li Nedar Mitzvah Hashem. In order to do so, we're going to divert our attention for a few moments to a sugya that we've already discussed. We discussed it in Sanhedrin Daf Dalid, and we also discussed it in the Bnei Noach sugya, is a little bit the Berachas Hashem sugya, is the Brisker Rav at least. But we'll try to rehash some of the major points that we don't parachute in, but it'll be familiar to a lot of us, and B'Seyad Shemaya hopefully will be Mevar the sugya through it. So the Rav has a footnote in Uvikashta Misham, in famous long footnote 15, where the Rav discusses the concept, the weightiness, and the importance of the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMiuchad. And there he gives several nafkaminas to the existence of the Shem Hashem, how it's inherently kadosh as opposed to other shemos which are to'arim, they're descriptive. Maybe the Shem HaMiuchad is a Shem HaEtzem, it's the essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That would be against the Mekubalim we saw in Nefesh HaChayim, not like that. But there are many shitas of the Mefarshim out there that are like that. And he lists for us nafkaminas to the fact that the Shem HaMefurash, the Shem HaMiuchad, is so special, is so unique. So one of the things he mentions is our sugya, is the sugya of Berachas Kohanim, that there's an isser, really, to say the Shem HaMefurash, the Shem HaMiuchad, anywhere but the Mikdash. In Mikdash, there's a heter and a mitzvah to say the Shem HaMiuchad, to say it in the context of Berachas Kohanim. So what's this isser of saying the Shem HaMiuchad? What are we talking about? So that's a Mishnah, sort of a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, at the beginning of Perek Chelek. The Mishnah tells us the different people who will lose their Olam Haba. And in that context, the Abba Shaul comes along and adds on, Af ha-hoge es ha-shem ba-os yosef. Someone who is, and now I'll translate a little bit, hoge the shame in its osios. So there, what does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Abba Shaul adding over there. So that's a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim. Rashi in multiple places in Shas says it has to do with the Shem Ben Membez, the 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone trying to find it and then use it is problematic. Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Hayamid Aleph say it means that you spell out the letters of the Shem Hashem. So unless you're falling off of, unless it's a, Pikoch Nefesh, you're falling off a boat or something, and you're trying to conjure up some Siyat HaShemai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so your Hoge Shem Hashem Bo'os Yosef, you're not supposed to say the letters of Yud and K and Vav and K in order like that. That's a problem of Hoge Shem Hashem Bo'os Yosef, according to Tosfos Maseches Sukkah. That's part of the Diyan, by the way. You know, the Nodi Behuvas is famous for half of it, but part of the Diyan on the L'Shem Yichud before Sfiras Omer and every other time L'Shem Yichud exists. I don't know why it got so much fame in Sfiras Omer in particular. But part of the Diyan is that you say what? Liachta Shem Yud K B'Vav K, right? That's part of the Nusach over there, right? Nobody should know, because you're not supposed to say it. But if you say it, so you know that it says L'Shem Liach L'Shem Yud K B'Vav K. So that's is that a problem of Hoge Shem Hashem the osiosev. So some of the poskim assume it is. Rav Adi Yosef has about this in Yabia Omer, and they have that blank on the name, right? Orchos Maran by I think Rav David Yosef wrote this 2-volume book where he talks about the hanhagos, the different practices that Rav Adi Yosef had throughout Or HaChaim. So in that context, they say that he himself, Rav Adi, used to say Yud Bekei Vivav Bekei, meaning he would say it in such a way that he didn't actually say the letters Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey. He separated them and also did the K. How do they do in that song? Hashem Melech. They do with K, right? Anyone remember? They don't do it with K. Okay, so that's the little starchian. I don't know the answer to that. But ideally we would, I guess, according to Rav Adi. Either way, that's 2 opinions. The third opinion is Tosfos and Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, which is basically what we were thinking about until now, which is that a person is not allowed to say the Shem Hashem. Yud, K, Vav, K has Nekudos. It has a spelling, and we pronounce it Adnos. We pronounce it Amonai. So we pronounce it completely differently than the way it's spelled. That's because it is usser to say Yud Kei Vav Kei in the pronunciation that would be given based on the letters and the nekudos as it's found in the ksav. So those are the 3 possibilities. The last, the post can basically assume we pass in like the last 2 at least. Chayadim says this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. We pass in like the last 2 that Hoga Hashem Hashem Yosi Yosav, combining the letters and pronouncing Yud Kei Vav Kei are both problematic. So what do we do? So source number 8, this is where already we've discussed this together at least once. So the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Nun Amid Aleph, it's also a Gemara in Kedushin and Ayin Aleph. Amid Aleph, the Gemara tells us that the Pasuk says, Zeshmi la'olam, Zezichri la'dor dor. Zeshmi la'olam, this is my name forever. Zezichri, this is my commemoration, la'dor dor, for all generations. What's Zeshmi la'olam? Forever. But the Pasuk is written chaser, without a vav. La'olam is written lamed ayin lamed mem, which could be read as li'alem, which means to hide. And therefore, the Gemara darshins that whereas in this world we are not allowed to pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem Hashem, we are allowed to pronounce it in the next world. Le'alim, Zeshmi Le'alim, you have to hide it in this world. Zezichri Le'dor Dor, there's a Zecher, there's a commemoration for my name for these generations in this world, but you can't actually pronounce it in this world. And therefore, the Gemara says, we have Lok Shani Nichtav Ani Nikra, the top of page 2, the way that I am going to be pronounced in this world. The Yud Kei Vav Kei, that name is not the way it's written. Rather, Nichtav Ani B'Yud Kei, V'Nikra Ani B'Alef Dalas. The Al will be written as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but you'll always pronounce it as Adnus, as Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Now, what we spoke about back on Dav Dalid is the question of how to look at these 2 words, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Is the pshat like this? Is the pshat that there's one name which is the written name and one name which is the pronounced name? Those are 2 separate and distinct names. You are not allowed to say Yud Kei Vav Kei, and therefore you can say a separate, totally, completely different name of Adnus in this world. Or no, the pshat's even more lumdish than that. The pshat is that the name of Hashem, the Shem HaMiuchad of Hashem, is written one way and pronounced differently. It's one Shem Hashem. It's the Shem Hashem, but there's a writing and there's a reading. The reading of the word, the pronunciation of the word, is really, it's the oral form of the same word. It's not a separate word that's substituted for the written word of Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's actually the verbal iteration of the same exact word. There's only one Shem Hashem. It's just written one way and pronounced a different way. It's the tzura of the Kriyas Shema Mufurash to say Agnus. It's not a separate name. It's the same name, just that's the way you pronounce it. Remember, we made that to the Chakira. We made that Chakira in general by Kriyuch Siv, right? We had the Rashba and the Gemara Nedarim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shari Ephraim and the Magen Avraham all arguing about this. We had the Prima Gadim with the wax that falls on the writing, and you can't see the Kriyuch Siv underneath. So by all Kriyuch Siv, you make such a Chakira. And then by Shem Hashem as well, you can make the same Chakira. The truth is that at the time, we quote Rav Moshe Feinstein has 3 tshuvas about this, 3 places where he writes about this concept of Kriyuch Siv, whether the Kri and the Ksiv are 2 separate words, or whether the Ksiv is the writing of the same word that's Kri, it's just pronounced differently, but it's the same exact word with nafkaminas. So in one of those instances, the Rav Moshe has in Igros Moshe, source number 11, I put on the sheet here, Or Chaim Chilak Aleph Simen Lamed Beis Anaf Vav. So here, Rav Moshe makes this tally in a Machlokas Rishonim, a very interesting one, actually. Maybe it's Kedai to spend a few moments on it. If you go back to source number 9, The Mishnah tells us Birchas Kohanim Ketzad. How do you do duchening? B'miklash Omer as Hashem Kiksavo. In the Mikdash, you say it as it's written. Uv Medina Bechinuyo. In the outside of the Mikdash, Begvulin. So you say it Bechinuyo. You say it in its nickname, and it's in a different way. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Kosevarchu es Bnei Yisrael b'shem haMeforash. Ata Omer b'shem haMeforash. Oh, Eino Ela Bechinuy. When we say Kosevarchu es Bnei Yisrael, does that mean we should use the Shema Miyucha, the Shema Meforash, Yud Kei Vav Kei? Or does it mean we should use a kinui? What was the Havamina? What would we knock this off and say use the Shema Miyuchad, okay? What was the Havamina? What did the Gemara assume the kinui was until now? When it said maybe we should use a kinui, a nickname, what nickname was the Gemara referring to? So Tosas here have two deos. Source number 10, Tosas in Sotan Lamechesa Maral. Tosas suggests, first of all, from Rabbeinu Hillel. In the Sifri, the kinui could go on Kel Elokim Tzvakos. Maybe it's one of the kinuyim, one of the other Shemos that exists that Rambam lists for us in Yisodei Torah, but not Yudkei Vavkei, even in Mikdash. It could have been any of the other kinuyim, the nicknames for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfos rejects this, say, V'lo mestaber, how could it be that the Pasuk says that Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, and we're changing to Yivarecha Elokim v'yishmerecha? That's hard to imagine. Ele b'kinoi, what did it mean, kinoi, a nickname? Yesh lomar kekriyaso be'alef dalet. Rather, says Tosfos, what it meant, when the Gemara suggested a havamina that you would use a kinui in the Mikdash, it meant not a nickname of another name, another shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Kael Elokim or Tzvakos. It meant the reading, the Adnus, the shame Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what the Gemara was suggesting, and the Gemara comes back and says, no, we use the real shame Ha Miyuchad. So what are they arguing about, these two deos in Tosfos? So in Rav Maisha's Tshuva here, he suggests that they're arguing about Gufa, our discussion. He says that Rabbeinu Hillel certainly is assuming that when you say kinoi, you mean something other than the Shem Hashem. Something other than the Shem Hashem. The name Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, the name Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is a separate Shem entirely, and therefore it's no different. When the Gemara says that it's something other than Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, you could say Adnus, you could say Kel, you could say Tzvakos. What's the difference? Once you're not doing Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're not doing the Shem HaMiyuchad, and therefore, obviously, you could use any of the Kinuyim. However, Tosfos are coming back and saying, no, there's a difference between Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and all other Kinuyim. All other Kinuyim are some new nickname for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's some other shame for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnus, is not a new Shem Hashem. It's just the Tzuras HaKriya of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So when the Gemara had a Havamina, maybe we should dafka use a kinui. It didn't mean any stam kinui. It meant the kinui, the special kinui of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, of Adnus. That's the pronunciation of Shem Hashem Bigvulin. Maybe you should use that in Mikdash. Says the Gemara, no, you should use the Shem HaMiyuchad. But the Gemara never entertained the possibility to use the other Shemos. Why? Because those are saying fundamentally they're very different. All other Shemos are a new name. There's Yud Kei Vav Kei and everything else. But the Shem Adnus, according to Tosfos, is the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's just the pronunciation of that very same name. It's not a new name. It's just the Tzuras HaKriya. Rabbeinu Hillel thought, no, once it's not the Kriya of Yud Kei Vav Kei, everything's the same. Well, everything's fair game. Adnus, Kel, Tzvakos, doesn't really matter. They're all not the Shem HaMiyuchad, so they're all on the same level playing field. This question that Rav Maisha says is a machlokas between the Rishonim. We saw, you have it in source 12 and source 13, we saw that Rav Velvel, the Brisker Rav, has a chakir about this, and he proves that the Rambam assumes like this more fundamental understanding, and we proved it, remember, in Hilchos Birkas Hashem, when you need to use the Shem HaMiyuchad for the Mivarech, Yaki Yossi Es Yossi, for the Mivarech and the Mizbarech, the subject of the curse. So does that include even pronouncing it as Adnus? Or it only includes pronouncing it in the Shem HaMeforash, in the way of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Rambam held that both are sufficient. And the Brisker Rav explains, because Yud Kei Vav Kei is Adnus. That's one shame. One is the writing, and one is the pronunciation, but it's all one name, fundamentally one name, one written form, one oral form, but it's all the same name, which is the same Lamdas that we just presented from Rav Maisha from the Tosfos, and presumably that accounts for the whole concept of Zesha Lokshani Nichtav, Ani Nikra, but rather there's one name which is written one way and pronounced a different way entirely. There are nafka minas to this, but maybe we'll just home in on one, since we're out of time, just about out of time, and we want to get back to our Rashi. So the one nafka mina that we'll say is, in fact, potentially, we'd like to suggest, is our Rashi. Our Rashi told us that the reason that a person is not allowed, Yisrael is not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohanim while they're duchening is why? It's a sakana. It's dangerous because if they look at the hands, there's going to be such a concentration of Shechina that it could, Rachman Aslan, blind them, Einav Kehos, which is what the Gemara and Chagiga did in fact say. Looking at the hands of the Kohanim during duchening is dangerous. It will blind them, and we assume that's because the Shem Hashem is being pronounced, therefore the Shechina is there, and that will cause harm to his eyes. And yet, Rashi assumes, because the Gemara assumes, that this Isser applies Begulin, and this Isser applies Bezman Hazeh, when we're not using the Shem HaMafurash. So Tosas were very bothered by this. We're not using the Shem HaMafurash. There's no Shechina then. There's no Hashraz HaShechina to Rachman Aslan blind someone who's looking at it. And the Tosas Rush answered, yeah, but there is still Hashraz HaShechina. Even Bezman Hazeh, the hands still have a Shechina over them, which accounts for the reason that you're not allowed to look at them during the duchening. So he said, what are you talking about? We're not using the Shem HaMafurash. So maybe one can suggest that the answer to this question is we are using the Shem HaMiuchad. We are using the Shem HaMafurash. It's true. We're not using the ksiv of the Shem HaMafurash. We're not pronouncing it Yud Kei Vav Kei as they would in the Mikdash. But the Adnus, the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud that we use when we say Shem Hashem as Amonai, when we pronounce it that way, that's not a new name. That's not a kinoi like Kael, Elokim, and Tzvakos. That's just the oral representation of the very same Shem Hashem of Shem HaMiuchad, and even Begulin, and even in Bizman Hazeh, when there's no Mikdash, when we're duchening and we're saying Yivrecha Hashem Vishmerecha Yah Hashem Panav Elach Vilchuneka Yisa Hashem Panav Elach Vishem Lach Hashalom, all of those Hashems are the Shem HaMiuchad. They're the pronunciation of the Shem HaMiuchad. They're the Shem HaMiuchad as it represents itself in this world, the way we pronounce it and the way we hear it, like the Brisker Rav told us, like Rav Meisher told us from Tosfos, that's the way to understand the word Adnus. So then Rashi's very good. Rashi's saying it's a danger. It's a danger to look at the hands of the Kohanim. Why? Because we use the Shem HaMiuchad and that causes the Shechina to come down, which can blind the person. And that's true nowadays also. Because when we use the word Adnus, we're also using the Shem HaMiuchad, which also can cause that danger of blinding people from looking at the hands. The truth is, and we'll leave with a little bit of a difficulty at least, it's not super pashut if you look in the Girs and the Gemara. Source number 14, the Gemara in Chagiga Tes Zayin that we started with, Hamastakel Bakohanim Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Kayam Shehayu Omdim Al Duchanan Umavarchin Es Yisrael B'Shem HaMafurash. So the Gemara says there are four people who shouldn't look at things or it'll hurt their eyes. And the Gemara lists as one of those instances, Kohanim bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam shehayu omdim al duchanan umevarchem es Yisrael b'shem mafurash. So the Shem Mafurash is there, so we accounted for that. Shem Mafurash also could include Adnus, according to the Lamdas of the Briskera, fine. But here, isn't it very clear in the Gemara that it's talking specifically about looking at the hands of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, who are standing there benching the Kali Yisrael in the Mikdash? So, L'chorat Mefurash, that this danger, this sakana, is limited to the Mikdash, the Kohanim in the Mikdash, who are duchening in the Mikdash. Tosfos will say, yeah, in Echanami, and outside the Mikdash, it's a problem of Hesach Das. But this danger, this sakana that Rashi is referring to, doesn't the Gemara spell out that that's taking place in the Mikdash in particular? So, I don't know, so maybe there's some other answer, but just a thought or two. In Source 15, you have the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel has a Derma Gersa. It happens to be, I cannot explain it fully to you, this girsa, and therefore it's probably an incorrect assumption what we're about to make, but just note that there's a different girsa. Bekohanim bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim, you can't look at the Kohanim when the Beis HaMikdash was kayim. U b'sha'a she'omdim al haduchan mevarchim ha'am b'shem ha'mafurash. See that extra vav? So the way we have it in the Gemara, it's the Kohanim, when they're in the Beis HaMikdash duchening, you shouldn't look at them. The way Rabbi Nachanal seems to have it is that you shouldn't look at the Kohanim when they're in the Beis HaMikdash, and you shouldn't look at the Kohanim when they're duchening. And that second statement, that seifa, might be referring to duchening even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even in Bezman Hazeh. What would the first part mean? I don't know. When they're doing the avod, you're not supposed to stare at them. I'm not sure. Not sure why it would be true. It's not our girsa in the Gemara. It's definitely a strange idea. But at least you see that the Rabbeinu Chananel had a different girsa, and whatever the girsa was, maybe Rashi also had a different girsa, which he learned the way that we're presenting it. And again, remember, from the very beginning, if you go back to source number one, Rashi tells us that he gets this idea of sakana from the Gemara and Chagiga, and he quotes the Gemara and Chagiga, Hamistakil bekohanim bishash and nosim eskapeyem ein of kaos. Kaos, sorry. So he quotes our Gemara, but he quotes it a little bit differently than our Gemara says. He doesn't say someone who looks at the Kohanim while they're duchening in the Mikdash. He just says, Hamistakil bekohanim bishash and nosim eskapeyem ein of kaos. Nisiyas kapayim, duchening, is problematic, potentially, regardless of where you are. The other possibility is that Rashi agrees that inside of Mikdash is a little bit different than outside of Mikdash, but it will have dargos dargos. Meaning, some of the Rishonim are going to tell you that the shame of Adnos has no similarities to Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a totally separate name, and therefore we don't use the shame of Mafurash Begvulin. So there's not going to be any danger in looking at their hands. Rashi will tell you, no, Yud Kei Vav Kei is pronounced Adnos, and therefore there's some level of danger, some level of Hashras Hashchina, and therefore danger to looking at the hands of the Kohanim during Berachas Kohanim. Is it exactly the same level of danger? So maybe Rashi has room to be mechalik that there's less danger, there's less hashras hashchina. It's just meitzitz min acharakim, as the Tos Rush quoted from the Medrash. It's a little bit of a peeking through of the shchina, but it's not a fully concentrated form because we don't have a base of mikdash anymore. It could be there are dargos. It could be the answer is a technical one. We just live in a door that has less hashras hashchina, but ultimately the yisod is the same, which is what Rashi told us. What the shita of Rambam is, what the shita of Tosfos is, according to Moshe, is that the shem Hashem of Adnos is really just the oral representation of the same exact shame of Shem HaMiuchad of Yudkei Vavkei, and that's why Rashi can have the same level of duchening existing in the Mikdash and outside of the Mikdash, which will relate to his Isser of Istaklus, unlike Tosus, who thinks it's an issue of Hesach Das. Okay, we'll stop here.